Well, we are moving forward in this series called Live Forward. It's a new year. It's a new day. I'm excited about 2019. This last weekend, Annie and I actually, we finally moved out of our old house and into our brand new house. We got one clap. There we go, one clap. You would be clapping if you knew what we went through. Thank you to Tammy Mabry for all of her help. Great real estate agent. If you need one, she's right in here somewhere, and you can connect with her to buy or sell your property. But anyway, we moved in there, and so we're running on fumes, but we are energized by what God is doing. But we're on a series called Live Forward, and if I were to title this message this morning, I would entitle it, God Will Get You There. God will get you there. If you are a person and you've been in a season of struggle, or maybe you are really perplexed about what God has for your future and you're looking to move forward in the things of God, I would highly encourage you to go listen to these messages. There's something special about this series, and you can go to thegraceroad.org and you can pick up the video or audio of the previous two messages, and they're very sequential up until today. And so today we're going to be picking up on where the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan and they were entering into the promised land. But we're going to be talking about some scriptures that Moses had written down. And this is a prophet Moses who had spoken some words to the children of Israel before they cross the Jordan and enter the promised land. Now, it would ultimately be, as we learned last week, Joshua would be the leader who would bring them into the promised land, but Moses was the one who took them out of Egypt, right? And then Moses led them for 40 years in a desert, and they lived in a wilderness land, which should have been a 40-day journey. How many of you know it should have been 40 days? But it took them 40 years because they had to have faith and they had to learn and they were going through all kinds of murmuring and complaining and problems. So instead of having faith, they were wandering around in a wilderness reality. And if that's you this morning, this message is for you this morning. And so we're going to learn and glean from some scriptures out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 17 through 23 will be our scripture reading. Let's read these, then we'll pray, and we will see what the Lord has to say. It says this, "You may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? But do not be afraid of them. Remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You saw with your own eyes the great trials, the signs and wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornets among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished." Very interesting. "Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be able to be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed." Let's stop there. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we know that your word is powerful. It's mighty. It's spirit-driven. It's truth. And it is encouraging, Lord. And so this morning, God, I pray that you would allow me to articulate this word and that it would fall upon good ground in the hearts of your people, that it would take roots. And I pray, God, that you would birth this morning in the lives of your people a new sense of encouragement, a new sense of victory, a new sense of purpose, God, a new elevation of faith in the hearts of your people, that they would be able to press into the things you have for them in 2019, and that as a community and as individuals and as families and marriages, we would live forward into the promises of God. And let everyone say a hearty amen. Amen. Well, this message, Live Forward, is kind of based on a scripture out of the book of Luke 9, verse 51. And in Luke 9, 51, it talks about Jesus. And Jesus was essentially ready to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be where he would have to go to endure the persecution and the suffering. And the Bible says that when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, in other words, when the moment was drawing near, when this climax of his life and the purpose for why he was on this planet, which was to suffer and to die on the cross, when those days drew near, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would have a face like flint, which means he would be a man which would be a strong posture. He would face towards the Jerusalem, face towards the future, face towards the challenges that were ahead of him. And he would do it having faith in the Father and marching forward into the plans that God had, irrespective of what might be on the other side of the Jordan. Can I get an amen? God wants us to live forward. He wants us to face forward. He doesn't want us to live in the past. He doesn't want us focused on our what happened yesterday, the good things, the bad things, and the ugly things from yesterday. He wants us to focus on the future and be committed to the future. How many know God is more committed to your future than he is to your past? Amen? And so this morning, I want to challenge us to look into some of these scriptures and take which was a very applicable and a literal experience that the children of Israel underwent, and see how we can draw out of that the spiritual applications for us today on this side of the cross. Amen? And I think that you'll be greatly encouraged, and you will be challenged. Well, as I mentioned, Annie and I, we were finally able to move. And I can tell you that this was quite the journey for us. We decided, we really felt like God spoke into our hearts. We knew he said that it was time to move. God began to speak to me about letting go of the property that we had been grooming and, you know, my dream for that little piece of land on the river. And God wanted us to simplify, and he wanted us to shift and change and to journey into something new. And it began what would be a 4 to 5 month process of trying to sell our home and trying to market it and trying to find a home and the financing and all of that, which of course culminates in the most fun part, which is packing, right? It's a journey, and there's many opportunities along the way to give up and quit. But when you believe God has spoken something in your hearts, there is a promise ahead of you. And when you keep your eye on the promise and you keep your eye on what the Lord has said and you keep your eye on the prize, that will help you push through some things that might be difficult, right? If you believe God has a promised land for you, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy to get there. But it will be worth it when you do get there. Amen and amen. I've got about this much yard work to do by comparison to what I used to have. Yeah. I got an office now. I can write and study and pray and do things right there at home. And so God has a promise for you. And a promised land for you. Well, it culminates when you finally, you know, the deals are closing and you're signing the dotted line. And, you know, for us, it was getting everything in the U-Haul. Isn't that so much fun? Getting everything in the U-Haul and packing. And, you know, Annie and I woke up and it was just her and I. Just her and I. And I can remember as almost like a microcosm of the entire experience, that last day of packing felt like a journey within itself. Because we had to be out by about 8:30, 8:45 p.m. And, you know, it's just her and I, you know, just me and my old little wife packing an entire house, big house of stuff. And there were some moments throughout that day when we looked at each other and we thought, I don't know, how are we going to get this done? And it was challenging. And then God would just bring somebody. So, you know, Jessica Crumpacker came in with her truck. And it's like, hallelujah, there's a Lord, there's a God after all. And she came in and did some work and helped us with her truck. And then Ed came by with his truck. And lo and behold, Justin swung by. And they all came at different times. And they'd swoop in and help us just when we need a little extra help. And I'm telling you, it's by the grace of God. We were just stepping forward into new territory. We didn't know how we were going to get it done. And God would just bring somebody. He would bring somebody in right in the nick of time. Justin helped me move the big things. Ed's truck was there to get rid of some of the stuff. Jessica's truck was there right in the nick of time. We pushed us all the way into the evening. And then we were collapsing and we couldn't get anything done. And we were going to leave a messy house. It's when the Mabrys and Roseanne and Sue and that whole clan showed up and they just cleaned the house for us. And we were able to get out of there only to sleep in the church because we were homeless for one night. Nothing better than being aching and your hands are swollen and your whole body is just throbbing in pain and you've got no bed. I felt like Jesus. I'm like a fox without a hole to sleep in tonight. Well, the next morning we got up and we were able to bring the U-Haul finally over to our new house and unload. And I'm still sore. My ring barely fits. It's so swollen. But it was a little by little by little process. That's the only way we made it through it. It was a Herculean task, culminating in those last 2 days, but little by little, one box at a time, one end table at a time. Come on now. One item in the garage at a time, one truckload at a time. And now we can look back, having moved into our promise, moved into our house, and we see, looking behind, how we made it through all of this. But it wasn't like it was a quick thing. It was a difficult, long, arduous drudgery. It was a challenge to get out of that house, and it was one step at a time. Little by little. Here a little, and there a little. Which brings us directly into the children of Israel as they were entering their promised land. Because God did not promise them a comprehensive victory in one day. How many of you know sometimes God will part the sea and give you one comprehensive victory and boom, you hear those testimonies, you know, how somebody just broke free from a bondage or an addiction and it was just instantaneous. But I would have you know that most of the time, it's a process. In order to enter the promised land, you have to fight to get in there, and you have to fight to hold your ground, and you have to be committed and determined to walk into the things that God has for you, and you have to be content for God to take you a little here and a little there into your victory. Now, before we go deep into this, I want to take you to the beginning of this promise as God had promised it to Abram in the book of Genesis 15, verse 18. Now, God promised, this is the beginning, the inception of this very literal promise that God would create a nation through the person of Abraham, and he would give them a promised land. It says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land. From the Wadi, or Wadi, I don't know how to pronounce it, of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates. This was an actual, literal piece of land, which is now basically where Israel is. This was the land that was promised to Abraham's descendants many, many, many thousands of years ago. Now, this wasn't just some ordinary land. This would be a special land. This would be a land, the Bible describes it as a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, this would be a prosperous land. There would be economic advantage in this land. We see this in Exodus 3:8. Now, in Exodus 3:8, the children of Israel had now been in bondage under the Egyptians for 400 years. God had given Abraham his son. They had multiplied into a great nation, but now they were under the slavery and bondage of the Egyptians, which is essentially the spiritual equivalent of sin and death. They were enslaved. They were incapable of escape. And we see here in Exodus 3:8, when Moses was basically confronted, of all things, by a burning bush. And this bush starts talking to Moses. Can you go to the next scripture? There you go. Exodus 3:8. And the Lord starts talking to Moses, and Moses is freaking out, and he's just wondering what in the world's going on here. And God starts speaking. He says, I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land. Anybody ready to get out of your bondage? To get out of your slavery, to get out of your Egypt into a good and spacious land. Amen? Not just in any ordinary land. This would be a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, a milk and honey represents kind of two things. It represents economic prosperity, because the flowing with milk symbolized that their cattle, their livestock, would have all the pastures you could ever want to grow and sustain all kinds of livestock. And the honey represented the ability to farm, where the bees could come in and they could do their thing, and you'd have all kinds of crops and all kinds of cattle, and you could just basically prosper in this land. They would have room. They wouldn't be shackled up and in a slavery situation. They would be blessed in a land that was spacious, and they would be free, and they'd be able to prosper. They'd be able to just expand and really flourish in this land. Now, notice at the end of this scripture, there's this interesting little twist. This land would be the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. In other words, this land is currently occupied. The land that God had promised them, God would promise them to take possession of this land. But in order to take possession of the land, they had to drive out the inhabitants of that land. Do you guys follow me? Now, that's a very literal application. By the way, if God promised you something, it's yours. If God says this land belongs to this group, it belongs to that group, right? If God promises the land to the children of Israel, that land belongs to the children of Israel. Jerusalem, Israel, that is their land, promised by God Almighty. God created the heavens and the earth. God can freely do what he wants to freely do with his creation. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So God gave them that land. But, you know, how many of you know that when somebody is currently occupying an area, it's very difficult to convince them to leave? When the enemy is occupying a place in your life, he does not want to relinquish it easily. Come on now. Come on. The enemy has nestled his way into certain parts of your life. It took him years to get there in some cases. And he's nestled his way into your thinking patterns. He's nestled his way into your coping mechanisms. He's nestled his way into how he could prevent you from entering your promised land. And so in many respects, oftentimes the enemy is preoccupying the promises that God has given us. And the only way to enter into that promise is to dispossess the current inhabitants of the land. Now, a very literal application with the children of Israel, which lives on today, by the way. The battle for the land is not a new battle. This is an ancient battle. And God has established that land for his people, for the children of Israel. But this personal spiritual application applies to everything God has promised us on this side of the cross. Can I get an amen? God has promised us, the Bible says, rest. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, basically the Bible says, don't be like the children of Israel who didn't make it into the promised land because of disbelief. Be like the children of Israel who believed God and were willing to enter the promised land. And so God promised us spiritual rest. He promised us peace. He promised us health. He promised us prosperity in our souls. He promised to meet our every need. Come on now. He promised us blessed marriages. Can I get an amen? He promised us to have a fruitful life with children that would be healthy and children that would be blessed. Can I get an amen? He promised us finances and financial provision. He promised us delivery and victory over every bondage and every snare and every pattern and every addiction that would steal the life out of us. God has promised us victory over our soul bondages. The things that people did to us when we were kids and messed us all up. God promises us victory over those things. Can I get an amen? God promises us. See, but most of the time, I fear for God's people because oftentimes we don't even know that God has promised us these things. And if you don't know what belongs to you, you won't fight for it. But when you know God has promised you joy, and you're walking around broke, busted, and disgusted all the time. At some point, God wants you to start to contend for your joy. God, where is my joy? Who took my joy? What happened to my peace? Jesus said he gave me peace that comes from heaven, and no man gave it to me. No man can take it away from me. When you've lived in peace for a while, when you've had the joy of the Lord, you're not easy and willing to give it up. And when it does go away, when something takes it from you, you're willing to fight to get it back. Come on now. I'm here to talk about fight the good fight of faith. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. And joy belongs to you. Come on. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Without joy, you've got no strength. That is your spiritual strength. Where the enemy's spiritual strength is hatred, your spiritual strength is joy. Amen? God has promised you peace. You don't have to walk around worried and messed up and always dramatizing over everything, and everything's a problem, and you never can find rest. That's a new word. Rest in peace. Rest. God has promised you rest. He's promised you peace. You don't have to have sleepless nights. You don't have to be worried all the time. You don't have to be always wondering what's going to happen the next day, and you can never enjoy your life because you don't know how to make ends meet. God promised you he would take care of your finances. He has promised you. He said, don't even worry about what you're going to wear. Don't even worry. Don't you know, God, if he cares about the sparrow, if he cares about, you know, the animals and the birds and things, if he's noticing one sparrow that falls to the ground, which is worth a few pennies, how much more is he mindful of you? We don't have to walk around and live under these bondages and under a slave system, right? God has promised this. We're not going to easily let the devil take our children, are we? Come on now, our children, the enemy's out there. There's a spirit of suicide out there. There's a spirit of depression out there. There's a spirit of fear out there. This is a real battle. And God wants us to really start fighting, to really take this seriously. And so I'm going to pray for my kids that don't know how to pray for themselves. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray for our children. We're going to go to God. We're going to demand victory in their lives. We're going to stand up for them spiritually when they don't know how to stand up for themselves. Because the enemy will exploit teenagers and tweens and kids and all the messages and the marketing and all the stuff that's out there. The enemy is having a field day with our kids. And if we want them, and if we believe the promises over us and over them, we're going to have to fight for them. You get a bad doctor's report. You don't have to accept that. I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes the very month that I started this church. The doctor said, you're going to have to take meds. God said, don't take meds. 6 months later, I had a normal A1C blood count. Natural. No drugs. Exercise. I claimed my health back. And they told me 9 times out of 10, people would just take the drugs and just go on. I had to learn how to change my diet. I had to learn how to fix my situation. I had to contend and pray and see what God was saying in my life. I'm not saying not to take your drugs. I'm just saying you better fight and you better go to God and you better understand he's your physician, not the person with the doctor in front of the name. He is your physician. I had to go to a prophet. He didn't know what my condition was. I went to see a prophet. He was preaching about this exact situation. God said, don't take medicine. You don't need it. See, but you got to get a fight in you. You got to get a fight in you. We're going to take territory in Black Diamond, Covington, Maple Valley, Enumclaw, and all around. This church thing, it's hard. If you're weak-spined, if you're weak-kneed, don't go into ministry. Because you'll get beat up. We got our team. We're the strongest. We got an amazing team of people. I'm just telling you, get ready to get smacked. If you go into ministry, you got to be willing to take a few bullets. Ministry is hard. People talk about you. They complain about you. You can never do the right thing. It's never good enough. And you're just doing your best. But you love God and you love people enough to keep going. Amen? We're going to keep going. I'm not going to quit if the attendance is low. I'm not going to quit if something goes sideways. We're going to fight. We're going to press. We're going to move. And we're going to take territory. I thank God for our leadership team, every single one of you, for going to battle with us. Every single one of you. All of you. For taking arrows and getting through what God is putting you through and pressing you into the things that God is doing and knowing the enemy's going to hit you. You see, there's talk about don't over-spiritualize things. I'm telling you right now, this community under-spiritualizes things. We don't see what's happening in the spiritual enough. Everything originates in the spiritual. Mindsets, health, all of these things, they originate in the spirit realm. There's an enemy attacking us. And there's an enemy trying to put boundaries and barriers up so that we don't enter the territory that God has promised us. So in Numbers 13, now this is a little bit further along in the story. This is when basically Moses and them were poised to cross the Jordan, and he sent 10 spies. Moses sent 10 spies into the promised land. In other words, go ahead and spy it out. Go in, let's go see if it's really a land that flows with milk and honey. Let's go see if it's really everything that God had promised it to be, because we're getting ready to cross that Jordan. We're getting ready to possess this land. So the spies came back and told Moses the following. We came to the land which you sent us. By golly, Moses, it flows with milk and honey, all right. Look, here's the fruit. Taste it. Sometimes God just has to tantalize you with what's in front of you. Amen? But then they threw in this really sad word. However. I want to come to you today and ask you to take the however out of your vocabulary when it comes to the promised land. There's no buts and there's no howevers in your vocabulary or in your mindset when it comes to what God has promised you. Because they said, however, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. In other words, they were saying, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And that's what we look like. We're small. These are big people. These cities are fortified. These are giants. We're just little, you know, Israelites hanging around in the wilderness. We can't do this. The land is good. I get it. The land looks great. The fruit is wonderful. It's everything God promised it to be, but the people who dwell there are too strong. Ladies and gentlemen, every single one of them with that mindset died in the wilderness. You cannot take your promised land if you've got a mindset that says we can't do it. You have to have a mindset that says we will do this and we can do this because God has got our back. So the enemy likes to make the obstacles and the enemies look so big. He talks smack. Come on, he's the original Gary Payton. That went right over your head. The original Gary Payton talking smack. Talking smack. Isn't that what Goliath did to David? Oh, you guys are super. Look at this ruddy little boy. Ha, 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 ha. How dare you send out this little David? This is silly. And he's got a little bag of stones. David said, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? I've seen God slay a bear and slay a lion through these slings and these stones. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Come on, the enemy can look like a huge giant in your life. You could never take that land. Look, it looks like you can never take and possess that territory. But you can't look at your enemy and magnify your enemy. You have to look at your God and magnify your God. Amen? Because your enemy is nothing by comparison to God. Your enemy trembles at the very sound of the name of Jesus. Come on now, that addiction quivers at the name of Jesus. Those demons coming after you quiver and tremble at the name of Jesus. Come on, those spirits going after your kids, they tremble at the name of Jesus. There is a spiritual warfare, and you have to fight for your mind, fight for your health, fight for your kids, fight for the ministry. By the way, I'm not mad at you. I'm just excited. There are many reasons to believe you can't make it into the promised land. But you have to have a mindset that says, I can and I will. If God has said a thing, just keep focused on what he said. Don't focus on the giants in the land. If God has spoken a business in you and you know he spoke a business, don't focus on the obstacles. Be a one percenter. One percenters, they're just gifted at not seeing all the no's. They just see the yes. Come on, we're going to find a way. I don't know how, but we're going to find a way. We're going to find a way. We're going to press through. We're going to make it. We're going to get there. We're going to get all the way into the promised land, and we're going to enjoy the fruit of this land the way God had promised it to us. Come on now. You don't have to live your life in misery anymore. You don't have to live your life defeated anymore. God has your victory ahead of you. Now, what happens next is this spy quarrel. There's this inner quarrel within the circle of spies in verses 30 and 31. Now, Caleb, after they'd given that negative report, but the people are too big, it's too hard, we'll never make it. We'll never make it. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." I want to tell you this morning, you are well able to overcome your obstacle. Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people." Two diametrically opposed mindsets. The 8 spies said, "We are not able to enter God's promised land." You know, that ticked God off. Can I say that in church? I think that's okay. That made God very upset. It makes God hot mad when we just don't believe what he says. We exalt everything else above him. We make the enemy bigger than him. You see, God is looking for a people with a mindset that says, "We are well able to take this territory. You are well able to overcome this problem. You are well able to restore your marriage. You are well able to overcome your health situation. You are well able to straighten out your finances. You are well able to restore your joy and peace. You are well able to overcome your bondage and your pattern and your addiction that you're carrying on. You are well able." But if, as long as we set into a mindset that says we are not able, we will never occupy that territory that is currently occupied by the enemy. We are well able to overcome it. Now, let's circle back to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and go through the scriptures that we read together. And I'm going to give you 3 points, glean 3 truths that are very powerful that you can write down, or you can go back and listen again. And you can bring this with you as you step forward into your promised land. Now remember, Moses spoke this long before they entered the promised land. He spoke this to give them encouragement for when they did enter the promised land. So you can take this same scripture from the same Holy Spirit author walking into the same promised land that God promised you and apply these same things in your life today. Right? That's exactly what's so beautiful about the Word of God. Here's what Moses said to them. Now, by the way, how ironic that this is exactly what happened. Moses says in verse 17 and 18, "You may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out?" Let me tell you something. If you are thinking that in your mind, these nations, this issue, this promise is stronger than me, I can't get rid of this, I want to tell you something. You are correct. The promised land that you are going to enter is not something that you can enter on your own. If you could have, you already would have. The promised land that you are entering, which is a spiritual promise, is something that only comes through the power and might of God Almighty. So here's how you overcome your objection, because the promise that's being occupied is too fortified. The enemy's too strong. The bondage is too heavy. The straps are too tight. And you've struggled and wrestled, and you recognize you can't make it, you can't get out. God's remedy to that He says, don't be afraid of them, but remember well. Some of us, we need to remember well. We have to start remembering better. Remembering what God has said. Remembering what God has done. When we are confronted with a no, when God has said yes, we remember that he said yes. Come on, we're all in this thing together, right? When it looked like the transaction wasn't going to go through, we remember what he spoke to us. We remember the promise. And we remember the things that he has done in the past. You think back and I don't know how we're going to pay our mortgage note. It's a very practical issue, very real problem. But remember back on all the other mortgage notes you paid and how God has never let you down. Remember back how he's always taken care of you. Remember back how he delivered you and he opened a door for you when there was no other door. And God opened a door for you. He made a way for you. He just wants you to believe that he'll do it again. He wants you to believe that his character is faithful and trustworthy. He wants you to remember what happened yesterday, the good things. Recite and recount your testimonies. Remember what the Lord your God did. Now, they had this testimony of God parting the Red Sea, and they walked through. He handled Pharaoh. I mean, they were impossibly enslaved. God restored them. He delivered them in an impossible situation. And he tells them, remember what he did yesterday. Remember what God did. And that will be your key to unlock your faith when you see a big fat no in front of you. When the enemy looks too big. You remember well. You believe he's going to do it again. Amen? The second thing we get in these scriptures is verse 20. This is fascinating. Listen to what Moses says. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornets among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. Well, think about that. The Lord your God will send the hornet among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. Here's my word to you. Expect a total victory. In other words, God's not going to be satisfied with a partial victory. The victory is a total victory. It's a complete and comprehensive victory in your life. It's total joy. It's complete victory over your addiction. It's total peace. It's real rest in the Lord. It's sweet sleep at night. It's a prosperous child who's victorious in serving the Lord. Even the things in your life that you can't see, that you didn't know remained, God is going to go after those things. He's going to bring those things to the surface. Even your blind spots. You just thought you thought you overcame everything. Here comes the next thing God shows you. But did you know this? Nah, he's going to bring them all out because he's committed to your victory. He's committed to the process. He's committed to dispossessing all of the inhabitants that would try to occupy your spiritual place of promise. Even the survivors, some of you are like, you know what? I've been kicking this thing for 20 years. I've been fighting this thing for 15, 20, 25 years. This thing just won't die. It's like Die Hard. Like Bruce Willis, man. Get out of here. Won't you just die? There's things like that in our life. Won't you just die anger? Won't you just die impatience? That's just the way I am. It's just me. I'm an impatient person. I got this thing on me that's just me now. No, it's not you. Your new you is not impatient. Your new you is not prideful. Your new you is not insecure. God lives in you. And God has birthed his life in you. And these things that want to survive, God's going after those things. Those lingering things that are still trying to come back and haunt you, God's going to handle it. He's going to send the hornets after them. When they go run and hide and they're trying to be sneaky and slippery and you know, they sneak in on you, God is sending the hornets to go attack them. You see, but God needs a willing partner. You're a co-laborer with God. Now the final piece here. Deuteronomy 7:22. This is so important. This is going to encourage you, and we close with this. So encouraging. You have to understand that this victory will happen at God's pace, not your pace. You say, man, it seems like I've been trying to claim my promised land forever. You know, I'm not impressed with my progress. I'm here to tell you, you are making progress. Because God never promised you a comprehensive, sweeping victory in one day. In fact, Moses prophesied, you will not be handed over this land in one year even. The Lord will drive out those nations before you, little by little. Little by little. I found myself many years ago, broke, busted, messed up, confused, scared, depressed, wondering why I couldn't overcome all of these spiritual bondages. I was perplexed. I tried everything. I was just at the end of my rope, and I went on this trip, and I went out to this ocean, rented this house, and I remember getting there. It was beautiful, and I got on my knees, and I had my Bible on my bed, and I said, God, I am so tired. I've been trying. This was my prayer. I've never read these scriptures before. I said, Lord, why won't you give me a sweeping victory? Just come in here and just sweep this all out and let me walk forward in total victory. Why am I fighting? Why do I have these problems? Why do they keep coming back? And I flip open my Bible randomly. Just every good preacher does that now and then. I just went, okay, God. I just opened it up. 7:22. The Lord said, the Lord will drive out these nations before you, little by little. I want to tell you, don't be discouraged because you don't have all the victory yet. Be encouraged about how far God has brought you. You might still struggle here and there with this issue, but God is delivering you little by little, by little, by little. Now, there's a reason for this. And this spiritual growth takes time in your life. Listen to me. There are things the enemy used to easily do to me, very easily, that he doesn't even try to do anymore. Same bully, same tricks. I had to learn how to, you know, we used to play this game called Punch-Out on the Nintendo. Now, some of you young ones, or I guess older ones now, you will remember this. You young ones have no idea. You had to learn the trick of the person you were boxing. It was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And the boxer would do a little trick. You know, as soon as he did a little trick, a little eye thing, he'd blat his eyes, and then you would know, that's how you take him out. Until then, you couldn't do anything. You see, God, and you would progressively beat this boxer, then the next boxer. I know it sounds like a silly analogy, but God's into silly analogies. You go to the next boxer, is a little difficult. The next boxer was a little more difficult. And you lost until you learned the trick. And if you would have went from the first boxer all the way to Mike Tyson at, you know, level 12, you could never win. You see, God has to give you progressive victories. So that when you take that territory, you learn how to hold your ground. And you know how to recognize when the enemy's coming in from you. And when he's coming in at you in that same way, you see it a mile away now and you bat it away before it even gets to you. See, the very same thing that used to knock you out is just child's play after a while. And then as soon as you get that victory, God allows the next one to come. As soon as you overcome this problem, he reveals to you the next problem. Come on now. Have you ever experienced that? It's like, God, can I ever arrive? No. God will continue to drive out the inhabitants of the land. You see, your victory is progressive. And those things that are challenging you, you're going to have to slow walk out of them. Some of you are in depressions and anxieties. It took you a year and a half to get in there. It's going to take you a year and a half to get out. Replacing old thoughts with new thoughts. Batting down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Replacing them with the Word of God. Meditating, fighting. I'm going to read this scripture over and over even if I don't believe it. I'm going to read it until it gets in my heart. I'm going to fight and contend. I'm going to stand on the truth. You see, you have to fight for your right to party. It says you will not be allowed. Do you hear that word? You won't even be allowed to eliminate them at once. God's not going to allow it. Why? Because he loves you. Some of you have a health problem and a body problem and a mind problem and a soul problem, and they're all interconnected. And God's going to deal with your mind problem, get your thinking straight. Then he's going to deal with your health problem, get that straight. And then your soul problem, your joy problem, all that stuff, God's going to deliver you out of it. But he's taking you out one step at a time. So that when, if he gave you a sweeping victory, you get pounced. And the same thing would come right back on you and you wouldn't know how to hold your ground. He won't allow it to all happen at once. Or the wild animals will multiply around. In other words, you need the enemies to occupy parts of this land. Because those enemies are buffering an even worse enemy. You see, you might not understand all the reasons why God won't take away all your problems. But God is saying there's a purpose in your pain. There's a purpose in your fight. There's a reason for the battle that you're in to occupy the promised land. Some of you, there are ministries that are being birthed out of your challenge. The same thing you fought to get out of, God's going to help you get other people out of it. You see, but if he would just remove your anxiety or remove your depression without a renewed mind, where you've learned over a progressive period of time how to renew your mind, then those same thoughts are going to come back the next week. And you're going to start thinking the same things. And see, you see, so you have to displace and dispossess those old habits and thinking patterns and issues in your life. And then you can move on to greater victories and more territory. You guys see this? He wants to bring you into a progressive, total victory. But it's little. It's one box at a time. Put it in the U-Haul, honey. We've got many hours to go. Get it in there. How are we going to make it? I don't know. Just keep going. Put your next foot down. Keep stepping forward. Keep walking forward. You have grown more than you even realize you've grown. Spiritual growth is like natural growth. It just happens. You don't see your children growing until you look at a picture from 2 years ago. Then you're like, my, how you've grown. You don't see your spiritual growth in real time until you look back at what you were like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm not the same man. I have the same Holy Ghost in me. But I walk in new levels of victory. I'm still trying to be more diligent and more disciplined in my life. I got more battles to win. God wants to make me where I'm on this. I can lead a church of 5,000. But I can't get there until we grow and we learn and we learn some, and we got to make some mistakes while we're small. Come on now. Sometimes God's getting you through a season. He's letting you make your mistakes while things are small. And as you're diligent and as you're faithful and as you're, man, is it 11:30? I'm really hot now. Sorry, it's just going fast. this is really important to me because I've lived through this. And now I see the next thing God's setting before me. He says, I want you to really have a healthy body. He didn't even have me tackle my body thing until I was in my 40s. I lived like hell. I ate anything I wanted. It was terrible. Okay, Rob, now you're going to have to deal with this thing. Okay? This thing's been going on. I didn't even bring it to your attention before because you were trying to work on your mind, trying to work on these other things. Now let's do that. Now we'll do finances. Okay, now, Rob, I really want you to be a leader. Here's how you're going to be a better leader. You guys see? From faith to faith and from glory to glory, here, there, a little here, a little there, God is bringing you into your promised land. It's so beautiful. Philippians 4:13. Do not let the enemy speak into you. Do not say that you cannot overcome the thing that you're battling. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him. Who can do all things? I can. You can. You see, if they didn't enter the promised land and start walking, nothing was going to happen. If you don't start walking and face forward and live forward towards your Jerusalem, nothing's going to happen. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You got to see the joy that's set before you to endure your march ahead. And that was the motivation that helped Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that helped Jesus when they put a crown of thorns on his head, that helped him through his Jerusalem moment. Was the joy. There is joy set before you in your promised land. Come on now. You're going to have that baby. It hurts. And as soon as that baby comes out, you're crying in joy. Because you got through. And there was joy set before. It wouldn't be worth it if it wasn't for the baby. None of it would be worth it if it wasn't for the baby. God has a baby. He's got a promised land for you. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray encouragement and strength in your people. I rebuke the devourer. God, I do pray for those spontaneous, comprehensive victories in our life. But in the areas where you're slow walking us, I pray that you would encourage us, strengthen us, renew our minds, take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Give us the victories that you've promised us in Jesus' name.